Hey guys, Nathan again with our 12th podcast. Today we'll be looking at question number 10 from the Heidelberg Catechism. Let's get right to it. Question 10 asks this, does God permit such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? So is that true? Does God actually permit all the disobedience in the world and all the rebellion in the world to actually go unpunished? Because if you think about the thief on the cross, the one that was there beside Jesus, he had done nothing good to merit heaven in any way. He lived a wretched life full of sin, and all of a sudden in his last dying moments, he was pardoned. All of that was just wiped clean because Christ told him he would see him in paradise. And if that's as far as the story went, and if that's all you knew, then this question today about God allowing sin to go unpunished looks like a legit question. So let's dig in to see the answer and then the support for the answer. And so the question again, does God permit such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, certainly not. God is terribly angry with the sin we are born with as well as the sins we personally commit. As a just judge, God will punish them both now and in eternity, having declared, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the things written in the book of the law. So the answer is not just no. God does not permit disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished. The answer is actually certainly not. That's certainly not the case. God is not just angry at our disobedience and sin against him. He is terribly angry. Those two adverbs there are meant to show you that, hey, this don't miss this. God is terribly angry with the sins we are born with and the sins we personally commit. And you could add there the sins that we do in front of others that then show the way or tempt the other people around us to sin as well. So why is he terribly angry? Well, we know this. It's because he's holy. It's because he's just. The answer goes on. As a just judge, God will punish. Stop there. Who's going to do the punishing? God does. God will punish now and in eternity. And the writers then go on to quote Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the things written in the book of the law. Wow. God is just. All wrongs will be dealt with. Nobody will go under the radar. No sin will go under the rug. All revenges will be had by God. Nothing will get past him. God will punish everyone who does not observe and obey all the things written in the book of the law. So just let that sit in for a minute. And I know most of us believe this, but when you really get to thinking about it, it's like, wow, God, you're really just. You're really going to make sure all sins get accounted for, all sins get paid for. And God really will do that. Listen to Psalm 5:4-6. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. Here is the present judgment of God in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And so to look back at the catechism there where it quotes Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. And so remember from last week we saw that God is unchangeable. And then God is also, his demands are unchangeable. And this week's no different. Not only is God unchangeable in his demands, he is unchangeable in his punishments. Will God say one thing and do another? No, God is terribly angry with our sin. Sin must be punished, and sin will be punished. Either we bear the punishment now for eternity, or Christ bears it for us. But either way, sin will be punished because God did not change his demands nor his punishments for not keeping his demands. This, of course, is key to the gospel message, because if sin is not punished, then sin cannot be forgiven. If there is no punishment for sin, then there is no need for Christ. If there is no punishment, then redemption is nothing. The late R.C. Sproul has been real helpful to me personally when it comes to God's justice, God's mercy, God's grace, and how to properly understand each one. And in his book, The Holiness of God, which is a Christian classic, by the way, he explains some of what we are looking at today. So is God just? If so, why does it look like he punishes innocent people for small crimes? Why does the punishment seem not like it doesn't fit the crime? So some think God is unjust by pardoning people for sins, and then others think God is unjust for making people face the consequences of sinning against the holy God. So either way, people claim God is unjust. And the argument of God is unjust because he actually has consequences for disobeying him, well, they're faulty. Like when an idea like that comes into our mind, we are no longer thinking about the God of the Bible. You're trying to deceive yourself into thinking that God's justice should really be called what we call mercy. That God should punish, you know, really bad people like Hitler and the like, but normal, everyday good folk need justice that looks and sounds like mercy. And so when they get true justice, the complaining, that's when the complaining starts. God, why are you unjust? Why would you do that? And as we saw, you know, God's commandments have not changed, and therefore his justice has not changed, which means he is being absolutely just in punishing sin. One of the main purposes of the Catechism is to promote growth in the understanding and the thankfulness for God's grace. The Catechism does a great job at preparing you for gratitude. And so this question today is designed for you not to take his grace for granted. So back to R.C. Sproul. He recounts the story of Uzzah and the Ark of the Covenant. And if you're not familiar with that story, the Ark of the Covenant was the throne of God, and it was the most sacred vessel in all the Holy of Holies, and the Philistines had it at one time, and then God allowed the Jewish people to get it back. The Jews then were transporting it back to their sanctuary, and they placed it on an ox cart, which they were not supposed to do. And as they were going down the road, Uzzah was one of the men walking beside it. And as they were traveling, one of the oxen suddenly stumbled, and the cart began to lean and tilt, and it was getting ready to come and come off there and hit the ground. And so without hesitation and just natural instinct, Uzzah reached out his hand, and he touched the ark, and he tried to steady it from falling so it wouldn't, you know, hit the ground. And then, what do you think happened? Well, God struck him dead because of it. It was to never, ever be touched by a human hand. Uzzah, he knew that. I mean, that was his main job. Ever since he was a child, he was told not to touch the ark. But Uzzah touched it. And Numbers 4:15 tells you if you touch it, you die. And so justice was served. Fairness was given. The command was not to touch. The response of Uzzah was touch. Therefore, God withheld his mercy and he gave justice at that moment. And justice was what was given. But don't you have that in you, you know, just to say like, man, he was just trying to keep it from being desecrated by the dirt. He was trying to keep it from falling in the mud. And he was just trying to protect it. But as R.C. reminds us, there was nothing about the ground that would desecrate that throne. God never did say anything about it not hitting the ground. The earth does exactly what God wants to do. When rain hits it, it turns into mud. When it gets dried out, it turns into dirt and dust. And so the earth does exactly what God wants it to do. But it was the hand of sinful man that God said, I do not want that hand to touch this throne. And Uzzah broke the law, and God killed him for that. So it's obvious that God should exercise his justice because he is holy and he is righteous. Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. So that all makes sense. But what Sproul reminds us of is what the real mystery is in all this. And it's not that why God acts just, but why does he not act in his justice all the time? So why does he not act in the way he did with Uzzah each time he is sinned against? You know, why did he not kill Adam and Eve instantly? Sins upon sins, wickedness and hatred toward him constantly, and yet God just seems like he just lets it go on. And that's the real mystery here, that God is just. We know that. We can see that, as we've clearly seen with Uzzah. And God will do, and God will right every wrong, and every sin will be punished. He overlooks sin for a time, but it will eventually be dealt with. And that's with fierce wrath and fierce indignation. And so what we saw with Uzzah is exactly what we all deserve. And God, in a sense, in a way, pulled back the curtain so that we could see that. So God interrupted his, what we would think, his normal pattern of long-suffering, forbearing, grace, and mercy that seems like that's the norm. God pulled that back and interrupted that normal pattern, and he reminded us, he showed us, and he wants us to make sure we don't forget that he is just. Ananias and Sapphira, he could do the same to us. Nothing's holding him back from doing that. And sometimes he pulls back the curtain and says, look, I'm still just. You might think I'm not because you're used to mercy and long-suffering. But guys, I am just. And don't forget that. And so all we can do is plead for mercy. All we can do is just wish that someone will come and save us from our sins. All we can do is wish that one will be able to bear God's punishment due our sin. All we can wish for is that one to come, but not only to come, but to live the perfect life I was supposed to live, and then raise himself from the dead, proving that he was the perfect one, and that sin and death are not master over him. But not only that, but that one who we hope comes will then apply all that onto our account. And we'll then say, here is the free gift of salvation, because it's got to be a free gift. We can never earn it. We can never deserve it by no means, so that all we can do is simply hope and pray God would do that on our behalf. And if he doesn't, then he is still completely just. But that wishful thinking, that I wish, guys, that's over with. God did actually do that. He actually sent the one to do all that I just said, to be the one who paid for grace. God, as we'll see next week, is not only just, but he's also merciful. And all we got to do is to simply trust Christ. Talk to you later, Grace Church.